Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
Joy. reading for this evening comes from Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about this righteousness that is based on the law, and that a person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thus far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul wrote his letter to the Romans about 57 AD. And when Paul had wrote this letter, when he had written this letter, he had not yet been to Rome. But Paul was aware of the religious situation there. In Rome, there was a Jewish population and a Christian population. And those populations had different thoughts on how to attain salvation. Some of the Jews asserted on a salvation by works of the law, while the Christians asserted on salvation by means of faith alone. In the chapters leading up to our reading for tonight, Paul had laid out the case that faith, not works, is the ground for salvation. And in the passage for this evening, Paul urges those Jews to share in the salvation of the one true faith and to realize that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Centuries before Jesus was born, many Jews lived in exile in Babylon, away from Palestine. And while they were in exile, they had an identity crisis. They wondered why God would send them into exile. They concluded that the reason why God had sent them into exile was that they had not kept God's laws and commands fully enough, well enough, complete enough. So then, hence, when they came back to Palestine, they were determined to keep God's law and command as full and complete as possible. And that, my friends, was the mentality of the beginning of Judaism. Adherence to Judaism focused on observing the law rather than focused on faith in God. And that's the mentality that Paul is up against with the Jews in Rome. They were adherents more to Judaism. You see, they didn't share in the faith of Abraham, the father of the Jews. And earlier in the letter, Paul had already noted that Abraham, in chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, Paul noted that Abraham was saved, was justified by faith. Abraham was not justified by works of the law. You see, Paul knew that mentality well because Paul himself had supported those incorrect teachings before he was converted. and before he had come to faith. You see, Paul was a Pharisee and a son of the Pharisee. Paul was zealous for God. Being zealous for God, though, did not earn Paul salvation. Being zealous for God did not grant Paul righteousness. Righteousness comes only by means of faith. Earlier in this letter, Paul gave an example that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. So while Paul was zealous for God before he was converted, he had persecuted the church. See, Paul supported and watched as Stephen, a fellow Jew, was stoned to death. In part because Stephen had faith, and in part because Stephen called Jesus the righteous one, a term only applied to God himself. And Paul did not stop persecuting the church until after God had converted Paul and called Paul to proclaim the truth. Like Paul before his conversion, some of the Jews in Rome were zealous for God. Paul writes, "For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." In order for Paul to submit to God's righteousness, God had to make Paul blind so that Paul would be receptive to listening and to obeying the truth of God, of truth of God and the truth of God's word. It is Paul's prayer and desire that the Jews in Rome listen to what Paul has to say, with the result that they too might come to faith. You see, Paul knew that being zealous in keeping of the law does not and will not lead to righteousness. Being zealous in keeping of the law does not and will not lead to salvation. Only believing in Christ can lead to salvation. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to anyone who believes. Christ completed and fulfilled the law so that all could be righteous and all could have salvation. Your zealousness and your piety does not or will not save you. Such zealousness or piety, or being on fire for the Lord, won't save you, won't save me either. Now, speaking of people that are pious or on fire for the Lord, I have a few Mormon friends. They belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And let's just call their names John and Sally. Now, I've known John and Sally for about 10 years. John and Sally's outward piety exceeds my own. It may even exceed yours. John and Sally are on fire for the Lord. They don't drink caffeine. They don't drink alcohol. They make sure to tithe the full 10% at bare minimum. You see, they want to make sure to keep all the commands and ordinances of the Mormon Church. Because by keeping those commands and ordinances, that's the only way they get reward for their afterlife. Now, John and Sally think that because Jesus Christ is in the name of their church, and because they have zeal and are on fire for the Lord, they think they're Christians. They think they're saved. Simply going to a church with Jesus Christ in its name and being on fire for the Lord does not make one a Christian. You see, the Mormons have an errant view on who Jesus, have a wrong view on who Jesus is. For them, Jesus was merely a man, a righteous man. He was not true God. And hence, Jesus could not have been, or could not have made, the sacrifice which God required. Now, I do pray for John and Sally every so often that they would come to faith. Because faith leads to salvation. Jews like Abraham and Stephen had faith which led to their salvation. The Jews in Rome to whom Paul wrote this letter professed empty zeal for the Lord. They didn't have that type of faith that leads to salvation. And they weren't believers, just like John and Sally don't have faith right now and aren't believers. In both the case of the Jews in Rome and in the case of John and Sally, they thought they could, and they think they can, earn their salvation. In both cases, they deny the truth of the person and work and of the need of Jesus and what he has done. It was the desire and prayer for Paul's heart that the Jews be saved. And as I said earlier, I do pray for John and for Sally. But true salvation is this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What you believe about Jesus is crucial for your salvation. Jesus was true God and true man. Jesus came down from heaven and became a man for us. Jesus kept the law perfectly in our place for us. Jesus was a sacrifice for us. Jesus redeemed us by means of his blood. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven and sits in glory at the right hand of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that we confess with our mouths. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul was urging the Jews in Rome to also confess. There is no other Lord Jesus Christ except the one who suffered and rose again. Suffered, died, and rose again. That is the Jesus who saves. And that is the Jesus whose name we call upon. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Jews who lived in Rome during Paul's day, whom Paul was praying for from our text, and the Mormons of today didn't and don't confess the true Jesus, the God-man incarnate who lived a pure and holy life, the God-man incarnate who went to the cross to cover your empty zeal and my empty zeal, and to cover your empty piety and my empty piety. And what did he cover that with? With righteousness and with salvation. That's the God-man incarnate whose Father raised him from the dead. That is the only true Jesus. There is no other saving Jesus except that one. That is the Jesus about whom Paul was preaching and proclaiming. That is the Jesus who is the Lord that we confess with our mouths. That is the true Jesus whom God raised from the dead. And that is the true Jesus in whom we believe for the certainty of our salvation. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
My soul, magnifies the Lord, and my spirit. The Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
God who saved us.